Hi, this is Relate to the Bible podcast with Deborah Styling, a podcast that helps listeners realize the Bible is still relevant in the 21st century. Hi, this newest episode is called Conquering the City of AI. I honestly don't know how you pronounce it. It's capital A, small I, and I just will keep calling it AI, but forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right. And it's over Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 35. You can also find this at Books of the Bible in smaller chunks at https://Bible in smaller chunks, BibleinSmallerChunks.blogspot.com. The Lord had it on my heart to write this for people in our busy world. In doing so, I'm ever mindful of Revelations chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, not to add to or take away from anything that's written in the Bible. So I was uncertain as how to approach this. So after lots and lots of prayers, the Lord had it on my heart that I'm just not supposed to change the meaning of the text in the Bible. Although he has shown me ways to enhance understanding that meaning without changing the meaning. Most of those are within brackets. Sometimes it's putting more current terms, like instead of using the word forsaken, I may have within brackets the word abandoned, because it's not quite so common, or forgotten. It just depends on how it's used. And or transition words, or who's speaking of being spoken to, because they use word reference quite a bit in the Bible, like he spoke to him, and sometimes it's tricky figuring out. Now, when I think it might be problematic following who's speaking or being spoken to, then I might put a name, both names, just depends on whatever Lord has on my heart at the time for that within brackets. And I don't tell you about those that are in brackets, although I note them in case somebody gets on the blog site. They will see that to notice there is a somewhat of a change there. But the part that I, and that's in the same color font as the rest of the text. But I do change the color of the text, and I will note it when I'm doing the podcast. If I may add something that is, Lord has on my heart that is to provide potential clarity to help understand the passage. Sometimes it's over something that happened in a previous chapter or book of the Bible, and you don't totally understand what the message is there without having that background information. Or maybe you do, but maybe not everybody does. And if the Lord has it on my heart, I will put that paraphrased or Bible verses that I have to help for potential of understanding the meaning better within brackets. And it's a different color font for those that see it on the blog site. But I will say, within brackets, it says, so you know that that's been added for potential clarity for some. Now, this is only done primarily with the King James Version Bible and lots and lots and lots of prayers. But at times, BibleGateway.com, BibleHub.com, NIV Bible, Webster Dictionary, and other internet resources are utilized. The Lord also had on my heart to put this in a table format, which doesn't affect the podcast because it'll be exactly like I read it, and it shouldn't affect in any kind of negative way the viewer that would get on the blog site. It's just different than what they're familiar with. It's in a table format, but Lord had it on my heart to do it, so I figure there's benefits for some for reading it that way. Now, the Lord also had on my heart not to put repetitive texts that, since he had it on my heart to make this for people in our busy world, it is that the repetitive text, sometimes there's something that's said for each of the 12 tribes, and it's very elaborately said over and over and over again, and sometimes there's ways to condense it or compress it, or combine similar words, or to tell you that this is for each of the tribes. It just varies. Now, I do keep repetitive words if they add new meaning or if they're done for emphasis. But sometimes it isn't, sometimes it's just purely repetitive. And so since there are some changes that way, it does, I mean, it always has the meaning for each of the tribes if it's related to that. But the thing is in making a change like that, it alters the verse numbering. So I had to be prayerful about it because I couldn't reconcile in my mind, how do I do this? If sometimes it changes and sometimes it doesn't. So what was on my heart was to do like I'm doing now, instead of telling you verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, I tell you that I'm reading Joshua, which is the book of the Bible, chapter 8, verses 1 through 35, so that you know the vast majority of the pertinent information from this chapter will be within this podcast. Let's see. If I come to something that has an asterisk, I'll say, ha, there's a red asterisk. It's foretelling of a future event. Sometimes I can summarize that briefly afterwards. Sometimes I can't. And Jesus's words will be in red, and I'll tell you that, although we're in the Old Testament, so unless it's referring to something Jesus said another time, we may not come to that right now, but you never know. Anyway, we're conquering this. Not we're conquering. The podcast is called Conquering the City of AI. Podcast episode is called Conquering the City of AI. I apologize. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 35. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be fearful or discouraged. Take all the men of war with you and arise and go up to AI. See, I have given the king of AI, his people, his city, and his land into your hand. You shall do to AI just as you did to Jericho and her king. You shall take for plunder for yourself only its livestock, lay an ambush behind the city. So Joshua rose and all the men of war to go up against AI. Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away at night. He commanded them, saying, look, you shall lie in wait behind the city. Don't go very far from the city, and all of you be ready. The people who are with me and I will approach the city. It shall happen when they come out against us, like the first time, we will flee in front of them, for they will come out after us until we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they will flee as we did. I just want to make sure I read it right. They will flee as we did before. So we will flee in front of them. Then they shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands. Hey, this is an aside, because I'm not quite sure I read it with the emphasis so you get the meaning of this. So before the Israelites went up to Ai and were overpowered and they ran the opposite way from AI. So this time it's a plan. So they're going to go up and act like they're running from them. I mean, they're going to run from them, but they're not really running in fear. And there's, you know, explain the rest in a little bit. So they're going to go up. And when the people, the warriors from AI see them and the Israelites flee in the opposite direction, they're thinking, aha, they're fleeing just like they did before. And they will run out after them. Then you'll read the rest in a minute. For they will say, they will flee as we did before. I'm going to reread this, and then I'll make more sense, I hope, in front of them. Then we will rise up from the ambush. So the people are hiding behind the city in ambush and seize the city. So when the people from AI run after the Israelites in the front, running in the opposite direction, they're leaving the city, and they leave their city open. And the Israelites behind, who are waiting in ambush, will come capture the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands. It will happen when you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. You shall do according to the command of the Lord, like I have ordered you. Therefore Joshua sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed on the west side of Ai between Bethel and Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people, just the Israelites. Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people. Joshua and the elders went up before the Israelites to Ai. This is an aside. So you hear Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. Well, it just says he did this. He did this. So in my opinion, it makes it easier to know who the he is if I occasionally put his name there so you know who it's talking about. All the people, including the people of war, were with him, which is Joshua. That is saying that to explain. And went up and came close to the front of the city. They pitched their tents on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. Joshua took about 5,000 men and had them lie in the ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. When all the people were positioned and all the army was on the north side of the city, those on the west side who lie in wait to ambush, Joshua went into the middle of the valley that night. It happened when Ai's king saw it, they hurried and rose up early. The king, the men of the city, and all the people went against Israel to battle at the appointed time in front of the plain. But the king didn't know there were those lying in wait behind the city to ambush them. Joshua and Israel acted as if they were beaten and fled toward the wilderness. All of Ai's people called out to pursue after them and Joshua, and they were drawn away from the city. There wasn't a man left of Ai or Bethel who didn't go out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued after Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out your spear in your hand toward Ai, for I will give the city into your hand." And Joshua did so. The ambushers arose quickly out of their place and ran out as soon as Joshua stretched out his hand. They entered in the city and took it and hurried and set the city on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw the smoke of the city going up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. The Israelites who had originally fled into the wilderness turned back upon their pursuers. When Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke ascended up, they turned and killed the men of Ai. The Israelites inside the city came out against them. So they were in the middle of the Israelites, some on this side and some on that side. They struck them down so that none of them, and the them is the people of Ai, remained or escaped. They took Ai's king alive and brought him to Joshua. It happened when Israel had made an end of killing all of Ai's men in the field and in the wilderness where they chased them. They had been struck with the edge of the sword and were destroyed. Then all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day were 12,000 men of Ai, for Joshua didn't pull back his hand, and he used it to hold out the spear until they had totally destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel only took the livestock and the plunder of that city for themselves, as the Lord had commanded Joshua. Joshua burnt Ai and made it a desolate heap forever until this day. Joshua had hung Ai's king on a tree. As soon as the sun set, Joshua commanded that they should take down his carcass from the tree and throw it by the gate entrance of the city. They put a heap of stones on it where they remain to this day. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel on Mount Ebal, like Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children. Okay, so Joshua was commanding the children, people of Israel. He's also the servant of the Lord, like Moses. And it seems a little awkward. And then it says, as written. Let me read it again, Stephen. I can read it with better emphasis. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal, like Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children, people of Israel, as it is written. It is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar should be made of whole stones in which no iron tool has been used. They offered burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Okay, that's another aside. So in thinking more, it wasn't saying that that Joshua commanded the people like as a servant of the Lord like Moses did, but he built the altar like Moses had told them to build it. So I apologize if I led to any misunderstanding. It definitely was not my intention. Okay. I'm backtrack a little. They offer burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrifice peace offerings. Joshua wrote a copy of Moses' law upon the stones in the presence of the children, which is the people of Israel. And all Israel, their elders, officers, and their judges stood on this side of the ark. On the other side stood the priests, the Levites who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the strangers and those born with them. Half of them were over against Mount Gerizim and half were over against Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously commanded, they should bless the people of Israel. Afterward, Joshua read the words of the law, the blessing and curses according to all that was written in the book of the law. There wasn't a word that Moses commanded that Joshua didn't read before the congregation of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers living among them. The next time I share a podcast, it will be called Being Fooled into a Treaty with the City of Gibeon of the Hivites. And it's over Joshua 9, verses 1 through 27. Please share this with others. Thank you for joining us at Relate to the Bible. I look forward to you joining us next time, where you will hear more examples of how you can relate the Bible in ways that are especially meaningful to you.